I'm going to reserve the reading of Scripture until a little later in this homily, but if you would now give our attention to the Lord to pray for our time together in His Word. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dan has shared with us the gospel lesson from John, and in that lesson you heard on a couple of occasions, perhaps even three, the prophet Isaiah was referred to. And during this week, our focus is going to be on the Son of God going forth to war, primarily with our focus from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the major prophets. And for you youngsters, you want to think major means long. The major prophets, this one in particular, is 66 chapters long. The other major prophets include Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and my young friends will enjoy the fact that Daniel is one of those major prophets. We are studying the prophecy of Daniel right now. Well, Isaiah was a prophet who served in the royal court of Judah. And you'll remember that Judah was made up of two of the original 12 tribes of Israel. They were the southern kingdom, Judah, after the split that occurred because of Solomon's son. Israel, the 10 tribes to the north, after the split in 931 B.C. There was animosity between the north and the south. Yes, even back then. For some folks, they will acknowledge that some animosity still continues in those two points of the compass. In order for us to get an understanding of where our prophet Isaiah fits, I'm asking some of my young friends who are memory masters in classical conversations to come up and help us position Isaiah. So Madison Elliott and the Courtwrights, Hope and Stockton and Josie, come on up here and let these folks know where I will be speaking about in terms of the prophets. And you're going to tell us from creation to Alexander the Great, so we can get an idea. So go ahead.
You talk.
Come on, you're all going to talk.
Creation and the fall, the flood and the Tower of Babel, Mesopotamians, Sumer, Egyptians, in this river valley, civilization with Noah's and Mycenaeans, seven wonders of the ancient world, patriarchs of Israel, Hittites, Canaanites, Cush, Assyrians, Babylonians, Chinese, Shang dynasty, Hinduism in India, Phoenicians and the alphabet, all mix of Mesoamerica, Israel, Exodus and desert, wandering, Israel, conquest and judges, Phoenicians and the ages, Israel's United Kingdom. 1,000
BC, 1,000 BC,
early Native Americans, Israel divides into two kingdoms, Homer and Hesiod, when founded by Romulus and Remus. Israel falls to Assyria, Assyria falls to Babylon, Lhasa, Confucius, and Buddha. Judah falls to Babylon, temple destroyed, Babylon falls to Persia, Jews return and rebuild the temple. Roman Republic, Golden Age of Greece, Peloponnesian Wars, Persia falls to Alexander the Great.
India's Roman Empire.
Should we stop there?
Alexander the Great. Great. Thank you very much. Let's hear it for these youngsters, huh? So they know. They know where we're talking about. We've got Israel and Judah falling, and they would have been able to tell us that you would find that in 2 Kings chapter 17 and 25. Israel fell to Assyria in 722 B.C. and Judah to Persia in 586. Now, the interesting part about the fall of Israel is that this is about when Isaiah wrote his prophecy. Isaiah, we read, wrote when Uzziah, king of Judah, died. And we know from history that that was in 739 BC. So within 15 years of the fall of Israel. And Isaiah would have witnessed the fall of Israel in what historians call the Syro-Ephraimite War. Well, what led to that war, and how was Judah involved? The major issue was how small countries like Syria, Israel, and Judah were going to withstand the impending westward expansion of Assyria, the great country of Assyria. Syria and Israel wanted Judah to join forces with them. And Isaiah encouraged King Ahaz of Judah to trust that the Lord God would protect David's line if his descendant would place his trust in the Lord. David's line was on the throne of Judah. And so Isaiah is telling King Ahaz, trust God. God will protect Judah because he's promised that a king of David's line will remain on that throne. And Isaiah, you'll remember, gave Ahaz a sign. He said a virgin would conceive and bear a son whose name would be Emmanuel, God with us. Well, Judah decided not to align with Israel and Syria, and Israel's capital city, Samaria, fell to Assyria in 722, bringing the northern kingdom to an abrupt end. We don't hear of Israel in any material way thereafter. Isaiah's prophecy was to be an encouragement to Judah to stay true to God, and Judah, the southern kingdom, would stand for another 150 years. Isaiah prophesied, however, that Judah too would fall if they failed in their pledge of allegiance to the Lord. So what happened? In 605, the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, and there was a first wave of deportation of Jews to Babylon, and included in that deportation was Daniel. He was led captive, and it was then that he began his prophecy. Just a few years later, in 597, the Babylonians came in and captured Jerusalem, destroying that city, and a second wave of Jews were deported, and included in that deportation was the prophet Ezekiel. Then 60 years later, in 539, Babylon fell to Persia. And we read about this in Daniel's prophecy, where he says that under Darius and Cyrus, while Belteshazzar was having a feast, drinking out of the gold and cups taken from the temple of the Lord, Darius came in and destroyed Belteshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And then a few years later, under the decree of Cyrus II, the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. And that happened in 516, and over the next 70 years, the Jews rebuilt their temple, and we have the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. So this is what the young people were remembering for us in giving us a frame of reference for which we then come to the book of Isaiah. The war of Assyria against Israel, the war of Babylon with Judah are pictures of God's war against all the forces of evil. And what will be the outcome? Well, let us hear the prophecy of Isaiah. Remember now, this is given in 739 B.C., fully 300 some odd years before the fall of Babylon. But then he says these words, and now listen to God's word from the prophet Isaiah. Listen, you coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord and my recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, It is too light that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of the rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, who is this speaking in Isaiah's prophecy? It is one from the womb, an individual called Israel, a person whom Matthew and Mark will later identify for us as Jesus the Christ. And this servant Israel will glorify the Lord. In the reading of John's Gospel earlier, we find that Jesus is the one who will glorify the Father. The Father will glorify the Son. And how is this to be accomplished? Through His death and resurrection, that which we anticipate celebrating in this week. Notice that Isaiah says that not only will Judah be restored from Babylonian exile, but their redemption is a picture of an even greater mission. Cyrus is a picture of the servant of the Lord bringing exiles out of captivity. But the servant of the Lord in Isaiah's prophecy is not Cyrus, but rather the one who would make his soul an offering as the Son of Man, Jesus himself. The one, as Isaiah says, deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. But this despised one is the one who in Daniel we see receiving great authority. This is the one who declares, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This one would not only be God's servant to Judah, but also to all the nations, that God's salvation might reach the ends of the earth. The Son of God goes forth to war, and through him, all the Lord's chosen ones return from exile. Praise be to God. Amen.